coming up at 4 o'clock here on The Fan, Evan and Tiki, on a whirlwind Monday. The happy Giant fan, the happy Yankee fan, the mostly happy Met fan, and the pissed off Jet fan. We'll get back to your calls coming up. A lot of Yankee talk as well as we get closer and closer to game two of the ALDS against the Kansas City Royals. But Joe Beningo on a football Monday. His calling is brought to you by Empire City Casino. Winners play here by Approved Oil. Lock in your low oil rate at freezetherate.com and by HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City. Bro, how are you?
Well, I'm not good. I mean, it was not a very good Sunday if you root for the teams that we root for. There's no doubt about it. Let me start with this. We'll start with the Jets. I know you want to get to the Mets as well. I'll start to the Jets. The first thing that should be done, like today, is making this trade for Devontae Adams, number one. I am sick and tired of watching Alan Lazard drop pass after pass. He killed him yesterday. Right before, and Rodgers didn't play great, let's be honest. And by the way, the offensive line, he's getting hit much too much. I thought he was done yesterday when he, curled over on his knee and all of that, whatever. Okay? But I'm tired of Alan Lazard dropping passes. He hit him on a pass for a sure first down. I think it was still 3-0 at that point. It was 3-0 because the very next play, Van Ginkel intercepted the pass and took it in for a touchdown. So, and he dropped a pass in the end zone. Should have been a touchdown. He dropped one near the goal line. It almost got picked off. It popped in the air. Thank God it hit the ground. He did catch the touchdown on that drive. But I'm tired of him dropping passes. And I'm tired of Sauce Gardner. Can Sauce Gardner catch that ball? He's on his knees in the end zone. It's 10-0. The ball comes right to him, bro, and he drops it.
Here's the problem. So you're right about Alan Lazard, and I'm with you about trading for Devontae Adams, and apparently it's going to happen in the next day or two.
Well, I believe it when I see it.
Whether it's us, whether it's the Saints, we'll find out.
Well, I want him.
But how about this? I think this quarterback over the last 2 weeks,
right,
a lot of it's on him.
No,
he misses an open Garrett Wilson.
Wilson was open down the sideline. Look, I'm not going to defend him. He didn't play well, but you know what, bro? How about they protect him better? He's getting hit a lot, okay? How long is he going to last? The last two games, he's gotten the crap beat out of him. How long is he going to last before he's hurt and seriously hurt?
Well, I'm concerned about that.
He didn't play well yesterday, but I'm concerned about how much he's getting hit.
Joe, I thought he was hurt yesterday.
Yeah.
That one hit where he went down and he's grabbing his leg, I thought he was hurt then. I didn't think it was a broken ankle, but the way he was like gesturing, it looked like something serious had happened to his ankle. And that's simply because he doesn't move out of the pocket once pressure gets. He doesn't have the movement anymore.
Well, no.
Not only that, but it's just he's doing what a quarterback should do. Stand in the pocket and deliver the ball.
Right.
But when you're old, sometimes you're just not as flexible. Like your joints don't give as much. And so it's worrisome how many hits he's taking, especially around his lower body.
No question. He's getting a lot of hits. He didn't play well. Look, he threw the three picks. The last one, I mean, come on. Let me tell you right now, if that was Sauce Gardner or DJ Reed covering Jefferson, it would have been pass interference.
Wow.
I mean, Gilmore clearly pushed off him. I mean, there's no doubt he had his hands on him. Still, it wasn't a good throw. And with all that said, as bad as they played, and they can't run the ball, that's another thing on your offensive line, a running game. I mean, third and one, fourth and one, they can't get a first down. They run two plays with Braylon Allen. You know, throw the ball on third down. Why are we doing this? And he's 8 yards back in the backfield. They don't get the first down there. Quincy Williams has a sure touchdown. Somehow Sam Darnold gets a finger on him on that fumble. It looked like he was gone, and he tackles him. Of course, they got the interception return on, you know, after that, so that negated that. But I mean, you know, and I'm sick of Sauce Gardner. You know, this guy Echols, every time he plays, Brandon Echols, he makes a play. He got an interception again yesterday off of Darnold, and I'm watching Gardner, who's got one pick in his entire career, drop another freaking gimme interception. Reminds me of what happened last year in Dallas, and that even though he got killed in that game, he had a sure pick six that he dropped early in the game, might have turned the game around. Okay, I'm tired of his act. I'm getting tired of it. I really, really, really am. But the defense played good. I mean, I don't want
to. That's the thing. The defense is playing good enough for them to win.
I don't want to kill. Right. They put pressure on Darnold. They sacked him a number of times. McDonald had that huge sack on the first drive of the game to take him, you know, to force him to kick a long field goal there. The defense played good. I mean, they really did. They forced a couple turnovers. You know, they got a little break when Jones went out of the game because they really weren't stopping the run when he was in there.
Right.
Once he left the game, they started stopping the run more. You know, they were better at it. But with all that said, as bad as they played, they got a chance to win this game at the end, similar to the Bronco game. Now, I think that there's some things that are going on here. I don't think Rodgers is thrilled with what, and I don't know anything. I mean, let me just say this. I haven't communicated with Robert Saleh the entire year, so I know nothing about nothing. Okay, let me throw that out. All right? But my looking at it from the outside in, it looks to me like he's not thrilled with the coach. And I got to tell you, I really believe this, okay? He's 20 and 36 now. He continues to lose. I don't think Woody Johnson is going to allow this year to spiral out of control without making a move. And I really think if they lose to the Bills, I think he's in big trouble. I really do. I really do.
And then what do you do, though? Like, do you promote Hackett? Do you promote Ulbrich? What do you do?
I don't think you promote Hackett. I don't. You know what? I don't know who you promote. Okay? Maybe you got to give it to Ulbrich. I don't care. But you never know, bro. I don't know. Like, it's something that generally doesn't work in the NFL.
Well, that's the problem. Like,
how long until it's done?
No. I'm with you on that. But
if he's
look,
2-5, is he still the coach of the team after Pittsburgh?
Look, I understand the frustration because Robert Saleh's proven to be one of the worst head coaches in the NFL. Terrible. So I'm certainly not defending him. It's more that I look at NFL history, and other than the guy in Oakland, the special teams coach, Fisaccia.
Yeah. Right.
Rich Bisaccia.
It really works.
It never works. So
I understand.
It feels like...
Well, it kind of works with Antonio Pierce last year as well.
I mean, they played a lot better than the Raiders. Right.
They played better, but not to the working that we needed to work, which is going to the playoffs.
True.
That's what I mean, because anything short of that's a disaster.
They also didn't have a quarterback.
Right.
I mean,
right.
They were running with Aiden O'Connell a year ago, who, by the way, entered the game last night yesterday afternoon because what's his name was terrible.
Gardner Minshew was
terrible.
Yeah, he threw that pick six to Patrick Surtain. By the way, that is a real cornerback who went 100 yards for a freaking touchdown after he shut down Garrett Wilson the week before. And he also had another interception, okay? I'm tired of hearing about Sauce Gardner. He's completely overrated.
You know what it might be in some,
I really mean
some capacity for the Jets? And this is totality. And maybe this is what Quincy Williams was getting at. There was, you talk about the drops from Alan Lazard. He had 10 targets, four receptions?
Right.
At least three of them were drops. Maybe four of them were drops.
I think it was four. I think I counted four.
You're probably right.
Not that I would count.
Because it's a lot of targets and not a lot of receptions. You know what
not
I mean?
That I would count.
And Aaron Rodgers doesn't throw a lot of bad throws, even though a couple of them were pretty bad. But my point is, it feels like this Jets team doesn't have guys executing with urgency. So in the moment, whether it doesn't matter if it's a first down, a second down, this critical third, whatever, this is your chance to make a play. Make it, right? Instead of, there'll be another one. We'll get them the next time. And when you do that too many times, the game is over and you end up losing. And that's what it feels like with this Jets team. It's you miss a block because you talk about those third and fourth downs, Joe. Those are well-designed plays. It's just your tight end missed the block.
He didn't put
a helmet on a head.
Right.
And somebody comes unblocked and hits Braylon Allen in the backfield before it ever gets going. Those are a third down. That's an 8-yard run minimum. On fourth down, 4-yard run minimum. But they don't make the block. So it's execution in the moment. And I think it's everybody. So it's not even like you can pinpoint and say, oh, it's the left guard, or oh, it's the D tackle, or oh, it's Sauce, or oh, it's Allen. It's everybody. And that's the biggest indictment on coaching, when it's everybody making those non-plays in the moments that matter.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I can't disagree with you, bro. I really can't. But I just wonder about the patience of the owner, because this is a team that's got to win now.
Yeah.
I mean, they really do. And I'm telling you, I really think Sal is in big trouble if they lose to Buffalo. I really, maybe I'm nuts, but I really do think that.
I just don't know where you go.
Yeah, that's my only...
Well, I understand that.
That's my only hesitation, because, like, obviously the record is the record. I mean, Robert Saleh's been a bad head coach for this team. And unlike some of the other head coaches that we have run out of town, this guy's had talent. This is a talented football team.
And now he's got a quarterback. And now he's got it, right, especially on defense. And now he's got a quarterback. By the way, this too. Breece Hall, okay? He's been horrible 2 weeks in a row. Can we throw the ball? Where are the passes to him? They didn't even try to throw the ball to him out of the backfield. This guy is a tremendous pass catcher out of the backfield. There's never a screen pass.
Yeah.
Do we never throw a screen pass this team?
Yeah, I think so much of this is on Aaron. I mean, I do.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. Because there are ways that quarterbacks can make things right. You know what I mean? Like get into the right play or change out of a play that's called. So I don't know how that works with this team. Like, I don't know what Aaron is in control
of. He's in control of everything.
So yeah, I got to believe.
Seems like he's in control of everything.
Both of your points, I believe that he's in control of everything. So this is why it's hard to fault Nate and say, oh, he didn't call XYZ play, because you don't know what he called.
Right.
You don't know what got changed at the line of scrimmage. And you see it often. Like, the play has changed at the line of scrimmage a lot. It was his MO in Green Bay, and it worked to a plum. It was fantastic there. But he had better wide receivers in totality, meaning as a unit, not individuals, just as a unit. And they had been together for a few years. This team, they played 5 games with Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Like, they're not going to be on the preseason. They're not going to be on the same page. Right. The Mike Williams interception at the end of the game. I don't know what Aaron is trying to do. It looks like he's trying to throw a back shoulder, but it's short. It's not even on his back shoulder.
It was a bad throw.
Right. The one to Alan Lazard in the end zone.
How about missing Garrett Wilson when Garrett got open?
Oh, he was wide open.
That's the game there. Right.
Yep. And so part of it is Aaron. And so it's easy to like talk about everything else, but
no,
when your quarterback's not playing well.
It's Aaron.
It shows up
everywhere. Joe, I'm glad they made the trade for this guy. I hope he turns it around. He's the number one freaking problem. Because think about it this way. Two weeks in a row now, bro, the ball's in his hands with a chance to erase everything.
He's
the one who failed both times.
Yeah, I understand. I'm not disagreeing with you, bro. Now, he did not play well. He has not played well 2 weeks in a row. I'm not gonna deny it in any way, shape, or form. But I would definitely bring Adams in. I think that's something they need to do.
Yeah.
If they're a win now team, let's go. You know, Joe, you blew it with Reddick. I don't think we're ever going to see him. What a mistake that was. And now you got to rectify it by making this trade for this guy who wants to play with Aaron Rodgers.
I agree. We've made this bet of all in. Aaron Rodgers all in.
Yep.
Devontae Adams is likely to be traded in the next 2 days. That's the reporting coming out of Diana Russini, Ian Rappaport. Mm-hmm. It better be the Jets. It'll be a massive disappointment if Joe Douglas doesn't connect.
Yes, it will.
And acquire him. And what's amazing is kind of like these last 2 weeks where the Jets play like crap, but the ball's in Aaron's hands and they got a chance to win anyway. I look at Monday night as the same thing, bro. Like, they beat the Buffalo Bills on Monday night. They're in first place in the AFC East despite all this.
Right. Of course. The year is far from over. I mean, you know, come on. I mean, they got 12 games to play. They're a game out of first place. Buffalo's not playing well. By the way, unbelievable fair burn yesterday with that 59-yarder. But, you know, I mean, and you look at the league. You got teams like Cincinnati is sitting here at 1-4.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, you can't, you know, Pittsburgh's lost a couple games in a row now. I mean, this is no easy league by any way, stretch, and form, way, shape, and form. They're right there in the mix in their division, and they need to win this game now. This is a huge game, Monday night at home. You know, the crowd's going to be going crazy, and the crowd is going to turn quickly if things get bad. I'll tell you now.
I agree.
I mean, you're going to see, you know, the crowd start, you know, we're getting fed up now. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and this is a win-now team. So this is a monster game Monday night, and I really believe it's a monster game for the head coach. I really do.
Absolutely. A chance to change everything. Because it's a 2-4, we're full-fledged panic. Maybe the coach, like you said, you win, you're in first place in the AFC East.
Yep. That's it.
Now, the baseball team. Yeah. I made a decision that maybe wasn't the best. I went to Philadelphia yesterday afternoon.
That. You just went to the Sunday game.
I went to the Sunday game with my son, my wife, my dad. It was quite an experience.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And look, this team's amazing. The Mets are true. When Mark Vientos hit that 2-run home run in the ninth inning, first of all, I couldn't even make any noise because the animals around me, you never know what they're going to do.
Well, they were pretty quiet after he hit that home run.
They were quiet, and then about 10 minutes later, they're rocking the place when Tyler McGill hangs a slider. What's your feeling right now? They got the split. They did blow a chance in game two. How you feeling about the baseball team?
I feel good. I mean, they got a split in the first two games. Look, and I've been telling everybody this, okay? A couple of my guys that I go back and forth with during the game, they had a 3-0 lead. They blew the game. They should No. They're not playing the White Sox in August, okay? Right. They're not playing the Washington Nationals. They're playing this big-time team. Did you think you're just going to sweep this team? You know, this is going to be a I fully expect they will have to win game 5 in Philadelphia.
Mm.
I think that's going to happen. I'd love to see them come home and wrap it up. City Field's going to be insane. They haven't been home for seemingly a month. You know, the last time they played a home game.
I know. Against the Phillies on a Sunday night.
They won that. Right. 3 out of 4. That was the game when the ball hit the bag. That would have changed everything. But, so the crowd's going to be insane. But I fully expect it's nothing easy, bro. I mean, I fully expect that it will come down to Game 5 in Philadelphia. And for anything you want to say, and I used to tell this to my buddies all the time back in the 80s. And, you know, all my buddies would get on Jesse Orosco. Oh, my God. I can't take Orosco. And I would say to all my friends, I said, look, we win a championship, this guy's going to be the guy that's going to be on the mound when we win a championship. And, of course, he was on the mound in Houston. He was on the mound against the Red Sox. So it's going to be the same thing with Edwin Diaz, okay?
Yeah.
So I think it's going to come down to Game 5 in Philadelphia. And I got tremendous this team. I mean, how could I not have tremendous confidence in his baseball team, bro? I do.
They
I
show an do. Incredible amount of fight. Mm-hmm. Like, yep. Even when Bryson Stott hits the triple in the eighth inning, right. It's almost like, all right, what can you do? The Phillies showed fight. They came back. For Vientos to hit that home run in the ninth.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's unfazed by moments, which is great for a young kid.
Yeah. He's been great. I mean, and everything, really, there's such a team, even with the loss yesterday. I mean, you know, Nimmo comes back, hits the home run. You know, we got a home run for Pete yesterday, so he's hit a home run now a couple times now in the Milwaukee in this game. Maybe he's starting to find it. You know, I mean, what can you say? I mean, you got to be happy. You got to be happy with this team where you are right now.
It didn't work, but what did you think of Mendy going to Edwin Diaz in the seventh inning to get Schwarber and then pitch the eighth?
I love Carlos Mendoza. It was the movie I had to make.
I agree.
Schwarber does not hit Diaz. I think he was something like 0 for 8. Well, I don't know, 0 for 10 with 8 strikeouts against him. He hadn't hit him. It was the way to go. What are you going to do? Diaz didn't have it. He doesn't generally pitch well in Philadelphia. I think he's got a 9-something ERA at Citizens Bank. It's not good, you know. But, I mean, and look, I mean, they're going to live and die with Diaz. He's their best relief pitcher. Let's be honest about it. He's their best. You know, yes. Pudo wasn't great again yesterday. Maton gave it up. I guess he got out of it the other, you know, when the game that they won, he got an inning without
gave it up in Milwaukee, though,
Milwaukee, right? No doubt about it. I mean, you know, Peterson's been great. How good has Peterson been out of the pen?
Great.
And you know it's going to come down to, I'm telling you, it's going to come down to Game 5. It's going to be the combination of Senga and Peterson in Game 5.
Well, they've got,
it's going to be.
I was going to ask you this because this is fascinating. Yep. If you're right that this goes to a Game 5, they've got three options. Right. They can do this.
Right.
They could do Kodai Senga.
Right.
They could do Senga into Peterson, like you said.
Right.
But Luis Severino is an option. He'd be on regular rest. Would you start Sevy? The guy was brilliant until the very end last night.
He was. And look, I didn't. You know, I heard a lot of people today say he should have took him out as soon as Harper hit the home run. You know, I can't, you know, before Castellanos hit it, I can't go crazy about that because he really did pitch well yesterday,
mm-hmm.
You know. And what are you going to do? I mean, it is what it is. Even McGill, I thought the big at bat in the ninth inning was he walked Trey Turner.
That was the killer.
Can't walk Trey Turner.
I agree.
He wasn't even close, bro. He was 3-0 with bad pitches. You know, you got it. As far as I'm concerned, you got to let – even if you got to just throw him a batting practice fastball or something down the middle, you can't allow him to walk. And then, you know, here comes Bryce Harper. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I think that was the biggest sequence. I also think what they've got to consider doing now, David Peterson's not making a start in this series. It's just not in the cards.
Yep.
Mania's pitching Game 3, Quintana Game 4. We just went over the options.
Right.
Senga, Severino, however you want. David Peterson has to be one of those key relievers that you're using aggressively. Yep. He wasn't available yesterday. They got an off day today. I'm saying tomorrow night at City, he's got to be available as a key arm out of the pen.
Can he go back-to-back?
Well, not back-to-back, but he's going to have 2 days off.
Right.
Well, so, Diaz is going to be available against tomorrow.
But so can he go back, 2 days off?
I don't know if David Peterson, why not?
Yeah.
He didn't throw that many pitches on Saturday. I think he's got to be, because they don't have a lefty they can trust. Danny Young's on the roster. They're never going to use him.
No,
Peterson's the guy.
Yeah. And Diaz will be available again tomorrow. He got an off day today.
Mm-hmm.
He pulled him. He didn't mess around with him once he got hit. He got him right out of the game, which was the right move. You know, look, Peterson's been a huge weapon. He closed it out in Milwaukee. He pitched three tremendous innings in the game they won in game one against Philadelphia. He's been a weapon. I mean, and he's, you know, him and Vientos to me are the two biggest. I mean, just never expected what we got from these two guys this year.
No, it's been incredible, man. Now let's see if they can finish it. Game 3 at City tomorrow, Game 4, and then maybe you're right.
And both of these games are 5 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah.
Now, what are you doing now? Did you talk to Oliveira? Did you get it straight? I'm sure that Oliveira, being the benevolent, wonderful dude that he said, look, Evan, it's your team. It's a division series. You know, I'm sure Tiki wouldn't be too upset about it.
Yep.
You know, maybe Morash could step in because he don't give a damn anyway. and let Evan, let's be honest, let Evan go to the Met game.
Unfortunately, I'm going to be here. I'm not going to be at either game, which is a part of why I went to Philly yesterday, to be able to take my son and my dad and experience.
Did you talk to Oliver about it?
No, because you know what? It's 5 o'clock. It's
the I'm doing it for you, bro.
He keeps telling him to just go.
No, I can't go. We're on the air.
He's just not going to do it.
Because we're on the air.
He takes his job too seriously.
I take the job seriously. And you know what? There are Met fans who may be flipping in. Not really, but we'll try.
Let me just tell you right now. Yes. Okay, you should be there for these games. And if Oliver is, like I said, he's a very benevolent dude. We love Chris, right? Chris, I love you, just to let you know, okay? That there's no reason that you should not be at these games.
Well,
you are the all-time number one Met. You love this, you know, more so than me or anybody out there that I know. As much as I love the Mets, nobody loves it more than you do. You go to all these games. You know, you wrote the book. You know, you score all these games. You're probably still scoring the game.
Oh, yeah.
Philadelphia. Philadelphia yesterday. You know, the Fanatics ready to hit you in the head.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You're still scoring the game. So, come on. Go.
I
would at least say this. I'll say this. If I'm you, if they win tomorrow, okay, you should be there for game four if they clinch.
So that's what – if they're
all right,
up
– I would say that for sure.
If they're up 2-1, I wouldn't take off the show, but I would definitely immediately leave to be in the building for a potential clinching moment. Because the last time we as Met fans had a home clinching moment was, believe it or not, this is crazy to say, was winning the division in 2006.
Yeah. No, I know.
Bro,
against the Dodgers.
Everything's on the road when they clinch.
Bro, how about the eliminations at home? They got eliminated at home against the Padres 2 years ago.
Giants.
Right, they got eliminated in one game. The World Series, right, the Giants, the World Series against the Royals, they got eliminated at home. They got eliminated at home by the Yankees in 2000.
Yep.
They're always getting they got eliminated at home in 06 by the Cardinals.
Yep.
I mean, right? I mean,
last five times
they're in the playoffs, they got eliminated at home.
I'll even count the last game of 07 and 08, they got eliminated at home.
Right. Right, they weren't playoffs, but yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's time to, you know, maybe we celebrate a little bit at home. That would be nice.
And
but I'm fully expecting game five, I have to tell you.
Yeah, well, we do. I'll say that.
Yes.
We are very
due. Yes, we are.
Joe, good talking to you, man. Thank you.
All right,
thank
guys.
You,
God bless. Take care. All the love.
Thank you. The great Joe Beningo. The Mets tied 1-1 with Philadelphia. The Jets, it's a week from now, so we got a long time to let it marinate. But that game on Monday night, I'll go as far as to say this, Tiki. I'll say it a week out. Is the most significant Jet game I have witnessed or will witness.
The Monday night game.
Since the final game against the Bills to end the 2015 regular season.
We'll be remote that day.
Where are we?
We are at the
American Dream.
Oh, that's right. Perfect.
We'll be right there.
Nice, easy commute on over. But I would say that, and we're a week out, so more time for let it marinate. This is going to be the most significant Jets game they've played since the final week of the year in the Ryan Fitzpatrick, Rex Ryan, disgusting game in Buffalo.
The Jets are winning, no problem.
I defy anybody as a Jet fan or non-Jet fan, IFO, to come up with a more significant regular season game than the one they're about to play. I see your brain moving, Sean. You're going to come up with nothing.
Yeah, as I often do.
We will return with your phone calls, Jets, Giants, Mets, Yankees, and also a very quick list. I call it the Cinco de Filtho, the five filthy, disgusting things I witnessed while in Philadelphia for game two between the Mets and the Phillies. We got a lot of Yankees to get to as we creep closer and closer to game two of the ALDS between the Kansas City Royals and the New York Yankees, a pivotal moment in the relatively early career of Carlos Rodon. I have a mental block. I couldn't even tell you what is that.
Rodon.
A big moment tonight at Yankee Stadium, which we'll get to coming up. I did compile a list after my experience in Philadelphia. It's the Cinco de Filthy. So here it is. The five most disgusting experiences I had in Philadelphia as I invaded Citizens Bank Park. You ready?
Here we go!
Number five.
I got sports profiled. I did. I got sports profile.
What does that mean?
I'm going to tell you exactly what it means. Me, my wife, my son, and my dad walk through the security lines, and they stop my wife and say, nope, not allowed in with the purse. She's got a very tiny-ass purse. And I said, excuse me? And the guy's like, yep, too big. And I said, oh, are we really doing this? Like, is this happening because I'm wearing a Met hat, my son's wearing a Met jersey? And he's like, no, I'm not doing it. It's not allowed. Look at the size of it. I'm like, it's the size of a wallet. You're really going to do this? He's like, well, there's a locker over there for $10. I said, no. All right, fine. You want to do this? Okay. So I told my wife, my father, and my Son, wait right here. I took my wife's purse and I sprinted 5 blocks to the car to put her purse in the car, lock it, and come back.
How long did that take you?
Dude, I was like Tiki Barber in his prime.
Nice.
I didn't want to miss first pitch. We needed to get food, bathroom, all that. I was flying. Now, it may have looked awkward because I am an awkward runner, but I was moving.
Meanwhile, you left your young child, your wife, and your older father in the middle with these maniacs.
No, I left him by the gate, the security there. I felt comfortable that that was definitely a better place than walking back through the streets of Philly.
Probably.
Thank
Probably
you.
A good call.
I made actually a wise decision for everybody. Mm. That's number 5.
Number 4.
How about this? 2 guys started razzing my dad. My dad was wearing a Tug McGraw jersey. Now, Tiki, let me teach you a little bit about baseball.
Please
here.
Tell me.
Tug McGraw was a great Met. In fact, he coined, you gotta believe. Mm. He was also a great Philly. I would tell you he's beloved in Philadelphia, much like he's beloved here in New York. And truth be told, he's my dad's favorite all-time player.
Okay.
Another story about Tug McGraw. Joe's not around anymore. Joe and Tug may have had a disagreement while at a bar concerning a woman, concerning a phone number. And guess who won that battle?
Tug.
Yeah.
Tugged hard enough.
So I thought this is an olive branch. Like, imagine, you know.
Is this your idea?
Well, I said to my dad, like, why not? He's a Tug guy anyway.
Right.
Like, his option was wear the Tug McGraw jersey or wear a jersey that says grandpa because he's a grandpa. Like, I think the McGraw jersey is going to go further in the state of Philadelphia or the city of Philadelphia. And these two guys behind me start saying, that's a troll jersey. You just trolling us, bro. And I'm like, schmucks, what is he trolling you about? The guy was a great Met. The guy was a great Philly. This is our olive branch.
Right. And it was a Mets jersey, though.
Yeah, of course it's a Mets jersey. But
it is a troll job. Yeah, it is a little troll job.
Oh, come on, guys.
Just a little one.
A little bit.
All right.
All right.
Number 3.
So every drunk Philadelphian, I was sitting in the first row of the upper deck. Every time they got a hit, every man and woman ran down to the first row to take their shirt off and start posing. I'm like, who are you posing for? They're not filming you up here. And they're all right next to me, and their disgusting sweat is falling on me. And they're, like, running to the first row to pose. I do not understand what they were posing for. Like, what are you doing? Who are you showing off?
They're trying to get on camera.
We're in the upper deck. We're not getting on any kind of camera.
I mean, they don't know that.
Schmucks.
Number 2.
The double bird as I left. Mm-hmm. I turn around after the game is over to this guy. Looked like an older, fatter, more plump version of me, like red hair, a beard. And I turn around to say, hey, good game. Because I figure that's a good way to get out. Like, hey, you know what? That was a hell of a game. I say that, and he picks up his 2 hands. I'm not going to show it. We're on TV.
Uh-huh. Easy, Eli Manning.
Right into my face, a double bird. And I'm like, why? I said, I'm congratulating you.
Uh-huh.
And he still did it. And he's like, F you! Enjoy the... My son is standing right next. Enjoy the trip back! And I guilted him. Because as I kept staring at him with a look of, why is this guy doing this?
Yeah.
He slowly brought his hands down and said, yeah, it was a good game. But I mean, really? Double bird and go F myself? Like, what are we doing here? But number one
That's
was
Philly for you.
Number one was far and away.
Number one.
The 2 people behind me almost had sex.
What do you mean?
Oh, I'm not kidding you. My wife was very concerned about this because of Jed and, like, is this really going to happen?
Outside in the seat?
No. Literally behind us, the man and the woman started making out heavily.
Wow.
The other thing that very much bothered my wife, and she's right, is she believed the woman was well under the influence and thought that this was a take advantage of situation.
Oh.
And which I'm not disagreeing with her about.
Right.
This is serious now. No, we're not joking anymore. Now
what
we're going to talk.
What inning was this in?
This was like the 7th inning of the game. And they started going heavy petting, major tongue involved, feeling up all around.
Wow.
And my wife's like, they're literally 5 feet away from my son. He doesn't see it because he's focused on the field. But my wife thought, he's going to throw her down and they're going to do it. Like, this is literally happening.
They did not.
I also thought, because I said to her, well, I don't think he'd throw her down. I think what would happen is they would sit on the seat and
cover your ears.
And luckily, I have to admit, there was a woman there, friends with the girl, who got involved.
Not in a, like, threesome way, more in like a...
I'd probably say there were more days I wanted solo doggy.
No,
in a way of... girl, we got to stop this.
Right.
Like,
okay.
what are we doing here?
Nice.
You're going to have
some clarity there.
Yeah. Like, she was the sane one. She's probably the designated driver. I commend her. If I had her name, I'd compliment her and say and thank her. But basically got in the middle to push her away and say, this can't happen. But I'm telling you right now, we were very close to live sex at Citizens Bank Park.
Wow. Could you imagine spending money on a baseball playoff ticket on a football Sunday and not caring what happened from the seventh inning on because you're with a woman like that?
Well, I'm whipping one out. I mean, the funny part was I heard their conversations that led to the sex. Or the homo sex?
Did he have good
I'm going to do it. And let's all be careful about this.
Yeah. You were taking notes.
The conversation.
Oh, so you're saying he had game.
No, his game was talking about how much he loves famous conservative commentators. So he's like, let me ask you a question. Will you think of Tucker Carlson?
No.
And she's like, I'll give you all the names. And she's like, oh, I love him. How do you not love Tucker? And he's like, yeah, he's the man. What do you think of? Let me ask you this. What do you think of Alex Jones? That was the next one. And she's like, I don't know that much about Alex Jones. Like, let me tell you, Alex Jones is amazing. And then she's like, let me ask you this. You know, I used to date everybody. Liberal girls, conservative girls. I can't do it anymore. I can't deal with these woke liberals. And she's like, yeah, well, you don't have to worry about me. And I was like, they're about to do it over politics. And at that point, I liked them. Because I was like, this is so amazing. I've never remembered in my life two people, no matter what your beliefs are, they're getting together over politics.
My bigger question is, what in what world does that actually work?
Dude, it was working. I couldn't. My brain was exploding over everything. I'm like, oh my God, this guy went in and said, I'm just going to talk about conservative, and it's going to work. Mm. And she was just loving it.
I mean, meanwhile, he's a dying old liberal.
Maybe he was.
You are in Pennsylvania.
Right.
Those two people are going to decide the election.
So what you're telling young single guys out there, if you meet a young girl at the bar, mention Sean Hannity, and you're in the mix?
I think it depends on who she... I mean, the girl may not... The opposite effect may occur. I mean, she may
might
not
be a turnoff.
Oh, that's true.
Mm, I think it matters your political persuasion. But at that point, when I heard the conversation, I kept, like, me and my dad were looking at each other like, this is amazing. Like, do you hear what's going on back there? She's like, yeah, tell me more. Michelle Bachmann. I'm sorry, she was a politician from like a decade ago.
Was this the moment your dad finally had the opportunity to give you the talk?
Chisholm!
I learned a lot that day. So yeah, quite an experience in Philadelphia. Who wants to go back for game 5? Anybody interested?
No, thank you.
I'm in.
Honestly, even if Ryan Hurley and our boss, the architect, said, hey guys, we're going to send you to Philly for game 5. I would actually decline. And that's me saying that, Lugie. Imagine that. I would actually say, you know what? I'm going to decline that invitation. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay here, maybe go to a live watch party at Citi Field.
And it's safer.
And yes.
And I feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
In my own skin.
And listen, I know we all like to watch things occasionally. I didn't want to watch that if that was going to happen. Huh. I was not interested in turning around and saying, oh, there you go.
Fair enough. And I think the watch party gives a much better place to go to than going down to Philly. That's what's so great about the watch party.
I agree.
You don't have to watch live sex at a two ugly Philadelphian people.
Met fans have Shake Shack. Phillies have Shake Shack. Good job on me. All right. Yankees have named the game 3 starting pitcher.
Well, to me, it's going to be Luis Gil. Like, they didn't use Clark Schmidt in game 1, but I'm thinking about the entirety of the season. The fact that we've seen Schmidt pitch out of the bullpen, so I think he's more of a weapon that way. So I don't know who they're going to decide, but I guess I would say that, in my opinion, I would announce Luis Gil as the Game 3 starter.
Okay. Aaron Boone has said Clark Schmidt will start Game 3 for the New York Yankees. Quote, he feels like he's the right pitcher for the job.
Wow. Mm. So what is Luis Gil's role? Do we see him available out of the bullpen tonight?
Or is he starting Game 4, like Tiki alluded to, and we get Gerrit Cole in Game 5?
I'm going to tell you why I've moved off of that idea.
Why?
So we talked about this last week just to kind of give everyone the lay of the land.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the off days in this ALDS, you could pitch your Game 1 starter on Game 4 on regular rest and your Game 2 starter in Game 5 on regular rest. And I suggested, boy, I don't really love Carlos Rodon having a comeback for a Game 5. And Tiki said, okay, well, if they have a 2-1 lead, go with someone else and save Cole. I think Gerrit Cole is such a creature of habit that I probably would prefer to get him on his fifth day and not screw around, because we even saw this in game 1 where Garrett's taking some criticism for the way he pitched. I think he's such a creature of habit that him not kind of pitching with all that rest, I think negatively affected him.
But if they sweep, what happens?
Well, then you got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, but isn't that also an extra day?
Yeah, but that's a good extra day. That means you swept.
What's the point?
Yeah, it's a better one. And also, it's only 2 days later.
That guy just kind of shot down his argument.
Well, no, you won. What am I supposed to do?
I know. I'm just saying.
Like, there's differences between...
I think I would rather have Garrett Cole pitching in my do-or-die game.
I would too.
I just feel that way. And take your chances. And then if you don't need them, then you have them for game one of the championship series.
Mm-hmm.
That would just be my way of going.
Yeah, I normally would agree with you on that. I'm just afraid of messing with him because I think he has shown an ability.
Yeah, but he's going to get messed with.
But it's a good mess if you win the series. Like, if they sweep the series, I get your point. But come on, that's a good thing. Like, it's like the Mets. They were messed by getting through the 2015 playoffs too quick. Like, what can you do about it? They won a bunch of games.
Right. So Aaron Boone is continuing to meet the media. He has said on Luis Gil, he could be used in bulk relief role or a high leverage one. Two-inning role this series. If they advance, he will be in the starting rotation.
Well, yeah, bulk relief role doesn't make sense because that means something went bad.
Well, that would mean if Rodon lasts two innings tonight, he comes in and pitches five innings and saves the bullpen.
I think that's a concern. Mm. Like, I think one of the thoughts going into tonight's game with Carlos is, okay, he's pitched well this season. I don't want to minimize his contributions, but I said this to you 3 months ago. I'll say it today before game two. I don't trust him in a big spot, and tonight's a big spot. So would it surprise me if Carlos Rodon is chased early in this game? No. I guess I could see a scenario. And the Yankees are good enough where they can still win the game. You know, Carlos Rodon gets knocked out in the second inning, and here's Luis Gil saving them. But I just don't fully trust him. I think today would go a long ways for me and others to start to trust him.
Yeah. And as long as we're on the Yankee news, we will give the full lineup in a second. John Birdie is starting at first base if you're on your way to the stadium tonight.
How about that? Mm-hmm. Sean and I had an argument on Friday about first base where I pushed that Oswaldo Cabrera should be the guy. And not Ben Rice. I sort of won that in game one because Oswaldo got the start. And I thought looked pretty good defensively at first base. And Sean's pushback was, what about John Birdie? And I was concerned about Birdie, T, because he's never played first base ever.
Yeah.
So you're telling me a guy's going to play first base for the first time in his major league career in the postseason?
Yeah, this is risky, isn't it?
According to Boone, he has looked, quote, outstanding in workouts. He also is a veteran that handles the bat well.
What does that even mean?
I don't know, but Cabrera was so good with the glove and saved how many runs it felt like. I don't know what the exact metric was. He was great in game one.
I think this is all about offense. This is all about Oswaldo has struggled as a right-hand hitter. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Ben Rice against the lefty is not ideal, and so John Birdie gives you the best opportunity offensively, and you're going to take the risk that he's not much worse defensively than two guys who also aren't gold glovers. Like, they're not going to confuse you with Anthony Rizzo. Ben Rice and Oswaldo Cabrera and John Birdie, they all have something in common. They're not natural first basemen. Ben Rice is a catcher who's playing first base. Oswaldo's been a super utility guy, but has not played a lot of first base. And as we talked about, John Birdie has never played first base. More on these decisions coming up. Plus, we'll get to the Yankee lineup. Let's get to some of your phone calls, including Bruce in Brooklyn. What's up, Bruce?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
First, I want to say that Milwaukee Mets show you did last week was awesome. It was really classic. You were like a minute behind the screen. So I'm watching the game. I'm saying, Evan's going to react to this in about a minute. And it was, you know, it was great. It was,
I think that's it. And that was the Atlanta game. That's the good thing about the reaction party, so that we don't want to be ahead of you. So if you're watching the game, you'll be like, uh-oh, guess what's about to happen? Yeah. Let's hear what the guys say to that. So maybe we'll have more reaction shows coming up in the near future. But we appreciate it.
Yeah, no, that was great. But what I wanted to say was that blocked field goal by the Giants on Sunday was no accident.
No, of course not.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, they practiced that play. Dexter Lawrence was in on that play. Yes. He wiped out the guy in front of him to give Isaiah Simmons a really clear shot at blocking that
ball.
Yeah, you
know what? It's a good call, Bruce, and we should give kudos to Gabriel, who is the special teams coordinator, because they saw something in Lakin Tomlinson over the previous couple of games that indicated that they had an opportunity to block a punt. And Dabes even talked about this after the game, where Dabes wanted to do it earlier in the game on an earlier field goal opportunity. And Gabriel said, no, let's wait until the time is right.
Save it.
Let's save it until the time is right. So here was the adjustment. So prior, the field goal block unit for the Giants was DJ Davidson over the tackle / guard. And then you had Jordan Riley, who was in that A-gap. And so for the field goal that they blocked, it was Dexter Lawrence in that B-gap role and Isaiah Simmons in the A-gap role. And so what they had seen on tape, this is what I'm assuming, because this is what I saw when I called the game and I mentioned this on the broadcast, is that Laken Tomlinson puts his head down at the snap of the ball and just kind of bodies up so that you can't go through him. And so as soon as he does that, Dexie, it's 360, just lays on him, just like puts his arms on him, like pushes him to the ground, and Isaiah Simmons jumps and then jumps again and then blocks it, and then it gets picked up and returned for the touchdown. So, I mean, that was designed. That wasn't by accident. That wasn't luck. That was intentional.
The only question I have, and it was a brilliant play, game-saving, even though I think the Giants win the game anyway, right, even if the field goal is good, but should Ford Wheaton have gone down?
Yes, of course.
Because we talked about Devin Singletary, and you guys touched on this on the broadcast.
The reason you don't necessarily need to is because it's a two-score game.
Oh, same thing with Devin Singletary.
Yeah, but it's different.
It's the same thing. The only thing that's different is Bryce Ford Wheaton is never going to get another chance to score.
Right. But it's hard not to score when you're not a natural score.
But as he was running, I'm thinking to myself, it's not going to happen, but what if he like tripped and fell and the ball got loose?
Yeah.
Like, you could just fall on that ball, the game's over.
He was holding the ball like a loaf of bread.
Right, what if it drops out?
Luckily, it's offensive linemen that are chasing him, so there was really no issue at all for him. But I think it was smart that they just took a knee as well, and we explained that, because if they block the extra point,
they can make it a one-possession game.
It goes back to, and they score, it's a one-possession game. Yep, yep. If they go for two, it gets intercepted, it becomes a one-possession game. So you keep it a two-possession game by taking a knee.
No, it made complete sense, and it was a great moment sealing that Giant victory. Jim in Middletown, New Jersey. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
What's up, man?
Good. What's up?
All right. So, Evan, I would have to agree with you on a lot of funs about yesterday's game. I think my Met friends, everybody I've talked to, I personally think that yesterday's loss was a lot bigger than people are saying it is, because it could be up 0-2 and in the driver's seat for three games rather than being tied. Though I would still have signed up for being tied if it started. Like, if they were losing 3-0 and then they didn't win yesterday, okay, fine. But blowing those two leads is really not acceptable. That's point number one.
Right.
Point number two, I want nothing to do with the game five in Philadelphia with Zach Wheeler on the mound. Let's get it done on game four. Let's celebrate. I'm bringing my 8-year-old to his first playoff game.
Nice.
Sitting Hyundai Club.
Nice.
Sitting Hyundai Club.
Oh.
And we're done. And Evan, one more thing. You're talking about the Philly trash. When we go to Philly, we sit in the Hall of Fame Club, which is comparable to probably the Hyundai Club.
Okay. Jim, here's the problem with that, okay? I'll bring you into some raw numbers. So when I made the decision on Friday night, all right, we're going to go. We're going to go to Mets Phillies. The only option is SeatGeek. I tried to make contacts. Yeah. I was like, let me call that, you know, douche Spike Eskin. Let me call in a favor, even though, of course, we ended on horrible terms when we yelled at each other on the radio. That was completely legitimate, and we don't like each other.
Not are you an adult or are you a child?
See, even listen to his disgusting voice. And I said, hey, you know, I called him by a name that I used during that sequence. I'm not going to use on the air again. And he's like, no, I can't help you out. Sorry. Even I can't get tickets. I was like, okay. So I made phone calls. There was no tickets. Like, they are a very hot ticket. So I had to go on SeatGeek, where I sat last night in the upper deck with the hooligans, cost a lot of bleeping money. A lot. I don't even want to tell you the number, but a lot. To sit in your bougie club that you're describing would have been over $1,000 per ticket.
Wow.
And I'm sorry. Yes, we're in the same real estate as Mike and the Mad Dog. Well, I can't speak for Tiki, but I can speak for myself. I'm not in the same bank account real estate as Mike and the Mad Dog. So I couldn't spend that much.
Would they have even spent that much?
I don't know. I mean, their contracts were pretty public and they were pretty big.
Yes, they were.
So it's possible. So it was an option of either you don't go or you go and you sit in cool baseball seats, but you deal with the people. So what are you supposed to do?
You're supposed to call the mayor of Philadelphia, Rondé Barber. He's playing golf. He's not busy. And he would have hooked you up.
Yeah, he kind of owned Philly.
No, I know he did. He did a marvelous job of doing that. More of your calls coming up. Plus, we turn our attention to the New York baseball Yankees. They get set for game two against the ALDS. They won a game on Saturday that I thought was actually very, very impressive. and gave me more reason for hope that they will win this series and go on a deep run. We'll explain why coming up. We'll check in on the lineup, and we'll get to your calls at 888-808-1019. If you've missed anything, you want to hear more Giant talk, no problem. Rewind the Odyssey app. We open with it straight up at 2 o'clock. Miss some Jet talk, we had Joe Beningo at 4 o'clock. How about the Mets in Philadelphia? Go back to 3 o'clock. It's the beauty of the Odyssey app. It's all right there in front of you.